Expanded Universe, Season 19, Episode 4, Mos Tavern, the book, Lando Calrissian and the Mind Harp of Sharu, by L. Neil Smith, the year 1983, Chapter 7 and 8, with your hosts Jeff and John. Let's go!
So here's a thought I just had, John. You know the British people call sprinkles something other than sprinkles?
Yes.
Yeah. They call them hundreds and thousands.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And I've been wondering, I feel like this is a rare situation where I think there's a clear winner in who calls a regional food by its name.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that is because earlier today, we watched the How It's Made episode Sprinkles, my daughter and I.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's just being like, hundreds and thousands are made by starch and sugar and shit and like that. You know, it's just fucking crazy. It's nuts. But the whole time Sage is going, those are sprinkles. And why does he keep saying numbers? And that's not what I mean. What I mean was later, she found a single sprinkle on the floor. One, like a single green sprinkle. And I thought, well, I can easily identify what that is and call it by its name. It's a sprinkle. But if I had to call it a hundred and thousand, I would be disappointed. I feel like that would be the wrong thing for me to say. So I feel like we definitely won by having one that could be singularized when it needs to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Sure.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
What fucking show is this?
It's Expounded Universe, and welcome to it. Whatever. We need to fill time. These two chapters didn't have that much in them.
No, but I did.
Oh, okay. You had a lot in these two chapters?
I had a lot in me.
Oh, okay. You've got a couple of honks in you?
I got hundreds and thousands. Yeah, that's right, baby.
Nothing but a big bowl of sprinkle for dinner.
One big sprinkle.
I feel like that's the next thing that people need to do on the Instagram or TikTok challenges, to just eat a big fucking bowl of sprinkles.
Yeah, sure.
Just that. Just sprinkles.
That sounds like dumb shit idiots would do on the internet.
Stupid crap that people could do on the internet. Instead of, like, I don't know, pretending to rob a bank or throwing pies at people or whatever the fuck they do on those channels. When they're like, you have to mash the like and subscribe buttons. I'm going to rob this bank. They'll know it's a prank, bro, because I'm a YouTuber.
You have a very weird perspective on what happens.
That's a real thing that actually happened.
I know, but like that is a widespread thing.
but you know, it's weird that it happened once. So anyway, yeah, this is Expounded Universe. We are still discussing Lando Calrissian and the Mind Harp of Sharu, which we have yet to encounter, but by God, when we get there, I bet it'll be weird.
I bet I'm gonna absolutely love and enjoy the Mind Harp.
I'm gonna go ahead and venture a half-remembered guess, because I do not remember that much about reading these books, that it's just a bigger version of the key. Just,
really?
You know, that the key is just like...
I was hoping it would be a bigger version of a nose harp.
Big old nose harp.
Yeah, this is Lando, the Mind,
like,
Harp.
I'm not going to play that. It'll mess with my mustache. Fuffy Raw, play that. I regret to inform you, Master, that I have no nose.
Oh, that's fine. It's a Mind Harp.
Well, then let me ask you this, my friendly, fluffy cyberbot. How do you smell? As my masters made me.
Not at all.
So we last left our hero in a extremely Chandler-esque moment as a man with a gun burst into the bar. Remember that? It was just like, he was hanging out in that bar. He had just encountered the weirdo shaman of the Toka, Mos.
Yeah, Mos was like, hey, turns out that you are the key master and I am the gatekeeper. We gotta get these two together.
Don't try to Ghostbusters this. This predates Ghostbusters. he's the key bearer, and I guess that means
he's the key bear.
Yeah, he's the key bear.
Honk.
He's the main bear in the area. You got to know this guy if you want to pull any other water with, like, other heavy, cool looking gay dudes. If you want to make friends with the bears,
who
in this
wants
scene
to pull water?
Is pulling water a thing? I feel like it is. Is that a phrase I just made up?
It might be. I don't know. I've never heard anyone say pull water.
Sure you have. Just once.
Just once. And it's weird that it happened.
So anyway, yeah, it turns out that Lando is the key master or the key bearer, and that Vuffy Raw, just by dint of being here, must be his fateful emissary.
Yes.
And that's what Mose had to say right before a man burst in and was like, "Time to die, spaceman."
Hey, spaceman.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Dude, we're all spacemen. This is Star Wars times.
Everyone's in space.
People are always going in and out of space. There's like buses you can take."
I take space bus.
It's not weird that I've been to space.
No one thinks that's weird.
What a weird thing for you to say. And the guy was like, "Oh shit, can I go back out and try, come in and try again?"
Yeah.
"Hey there, recently in space, man." No, that sounds worse. I'm going to, I'm just going to say, "Hey, Lando."
Hey, gambler guy.
Hey, gamble man.
Oh, gamble man.
I like that one. I'm okay with that.
Hey, Mr. Gamble man.
In fact,
me banana.
Start calling me Lando Gamblerizian. Anyway,
I am Lando Gambleman.
Lando Gambleman. That's his perfect name, just like how the Star Wars in general was written by Jonathan Star Wars.
Indeed.
Yeah. But anyway, this guy, as it turns out, is a fellow by the name of Jandler.
Yeah, Mr. Jandler.
Mr. Jandler. And we know that because the moment he bursts in with a gun, the bartender, who's a robot, we've got to make that clear. It's a droid bartender. This is the spacer bar. The bartender's like, "Hey, you've already been kicked out of here a bunch of times.
You're not allowed to be in here.
It's against the rules. You got to go." And at this point, Lando's like, "Well, I might as well enjoy the show." Because the dude's like, "Shut up, droid. I don't have to take that shit from you. That's the guy," he says, looking at Lando, "who brought a droid into a mining bar."
Yeah, my buddy told me this guy was being all stupid or something. I don't know.
Well, he's really mad that Lando is wandering around with a droid, because he basically has one of those, like, his droid is going around taking all the jobs.
These droids shooting up all the jobs.
He literally is basically accusing this super complicated robot that Lando has, who has done nothing,
as far
as we can tell. Like, the most work Vuffy Raw has done to this point was he carried Lando's luggage once.
It's so weird that he's like, "This fucking droid, you're taking jabs." And I'm like, this is very clearly like some dude's weird personal droid. This isn't like, Lando showed up with a mining droid specifically. It's like, this is some weird fucking alien droid.
It does weird shit. Look at it. It doesn't mine. It doesn't do bartending. It's a pentagonally radially symmetrical robo starfish man.
Yeah.
It's not a regular, with a big gem for a face. It's not your regular droid.
This dude is closer to a Pokemon than it is a fucking miner. So I don't know what your deal is.
He brought any robot at all into any establishment. But ultimately, he is like, "Hey, shut up, you droid. Because this guy brought another droid in here," and now the bartender's like, "Oh, well, that's quite speciesist of you. What?
Look, you lost this bar that you used to own, to another dude apparently lost it in a gambling bet."
I love this kind of conversation that they have, by the way, where this dude's wildly waving a gun back and forth between the bartender and Lando, and the bartender's just calmly explaining his backstory for everybody.
Yeah.
"Listen here, you man who lost this bar in a gambling bet with a different man who didn't hate droids the way you hate droids, and then he sold the bar to me, a droid, so I own the bar, and you hate that because you're racist against droids. Man.
My man. My dude."
And then Lando's got to be like, "Dude, you just thought I was weird for being in space. Your story is crazy."
But yeah, Lando is just like not even doing anything. He's kind of like, "Cool, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just fuck chill out, right, my man?"
Yeah, like he's basically like, "Well, if I die, I die, but I might as well at least figure out what's going on while it's happening." So he's like getting a measure of this guy and trying to get a read. There's a point where the bartender comes stomping over to try and intervene. And Lando's like, "Well, I guess he's going to shoot one of us. Hopefully he'll shoot the bartender."
Oh, yeah, because he's like, "Oh, I just noticed this guy has a decent taste in clothes."
Yeah, he's like fastidious. And he's like, "Well, I guess he doesn't want to mess up the place. He seems to have a high sense of aesthetics.
Hopefully he'll shoot the droid because it won't be as messy. And he seems to care about that sort of thing."
I really wanted the droid to like subtly pick up on the cue and be like, "Now be careful not to shoot me, Jandler. You know I'm 90% paintballs."
You know that if something goes wrong with my circuitry, I explode in oil.
You know I was built by Gallagher. It's best not to attack me. Lando quietly pulling up a big plastic sheet.
I am absolutely loving the image of, like, camera shifts to droid. You know, I was built by Gallagher, shifts over, and then just very suddenly he is wearing a full poncho.
Is and Lando. Everyone in the bar around the scene is pulling out these plastic sheets.
Just absolute full clear plastic poncho. Everyone was not wearing one, and then within a second is.
And then the man's like, who's Gallagher? It's 1983. I don't get that reference.
Oh, please. Gallagher's been around forever.
Well, see, I think he was like an 80s thing, but is he a late 70s thing, too? Okay. Maybe I'm mistaking him for his weirder brother, Gallagher 2.
Yeah, Gallagher 2 was later.
Yeah.
When he stole Gallagher 1's deal.
And name. And haircut. And big watermelon hammer.
Yeah.
I feel like it's about time for a deep dive retrospective on what the fuck was up with Gallagher, you know? Like, sometimes, because it's so far in the past now that it's just sort of, all people remember is the watermelon smashing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things where, like, even Gallagher 2, who was around later than standard Gallagher.
Yeah.
Is still, like, man.
Ephemera. It's turned into ephemera.
Yeah. Like, you kept that name going for slightly longer than it would have been, but even that did not reach within the last 20 years.
Yeah. And I think you and I both have kind of an affinity for ephemera.
Yeah.
Where we just want to talk about shit that happened that people are like, wait, that happened?
And that's why you'll join us on our new podcast, Affinity for Ephemera.
I'm surprised we're not just going to call it like Ephemera Mastery, which is just no, so on brand.
Never.
Because I just got this old poster for our garage space of the Ewoks and the Marauders of Endor movie. That's the theatrical release name for Battle of Endor. And I was showing it to my dad, and he was like, why would you want that? Why wouldn't you want a Star Wars poster instead of a TV movie picture of Wilford Brimley? And I was like, because it's stupid. You don't get the things I like are the parts of things that suck and are stupid and were rightly forgotten. That's my favorite.
I like things that are bad and dumb.
I like being able to point to things and be like, this fucking happened.
Look at this. You might not remember it.
You buried this. This fucking happened. Sure as shit, there was a Batman-flavored cereal.
Dude, of course there was. I had that, and it was...
Tasted like Batman.
I mean, it was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
No, why would you? That'd be a weird thing to lie about.
Okay, I lied. I was lying. Batman cereal's terrible.
J'accuse!
No, I remember Batman cereal being like... Kind of the consistency of, like, Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, pretty much. It's that same puffed oat shit that they used for every branded cereal in the 80s.
That puffed oat shit.
Exactly the same as Crispy Critters or the Mario and Zelda cereals. They're all the same shit. Even C-3PO's, I believe, were the same.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow, Gallagher started his comedy career in 1969.
Motherfucker. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I guess we're doing it. This is the deep dive
on
Gallagher.
All right, here we go. Fuck this book.
Never mind, L. Neil Smith.
Fuck your book. Fuck everything. This is a Gallagher podcast now. It's not even about ephemera. This is the Gallagher podcast.
The definitive Gallagher podcast. And we're going to do the whole thing like a true crime podcast. We're going to interview people who knew him.
The year was 1969, and in a small town in Missouri, a young fellow by the name of Gallagher was just getting started.
Did he kill 26 people? No one can say for sure. One thing that can be said for sure, he hated watermelons.
And he killed 26 people.
Coming up next, an interview with a person in town who described him as a quiet man who kept to himself.
I'm sure you'll want to stick around, but first...
35 ads in a row.
Y'all ever seen these stamps?
How y'all doing for VPNs? Because NordVPN, motherfucks.
Huh? You want a VPN while you played Raid Shadow Legends?
Raid Shadow Legends hits different if you're playing it in pretend Taiwan.
Wow. Can't even see the rails from here.
Star Wars, though, am I right? No, we went off a couple of tangents.
We really spiraled out of control for a minute there.
So Jandler's mad. He keeps going back and forth and back and forth. And There's this whole big fight between him and the robot bartender. Lando's just trying to stay out of it. Eventually, it feels like it's going to boil to a head and Chandler's about to do something. So Lando has a brilliant plan to just yell, "Get him, Vuffy Raw!"
Yeah, which, I mean, it's a great plan because he's like, okay, this guy's like got his attention switching between different things. He managed to like clunk the bartender on the dome and yes. be like, get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, he like dented his head. He had like a transparent dome head for, I don't know, maybe there's a pop-o-matic bubble in there or something. Yeah. You never know why this guy did. Maybe people wanted to see his brain. Maybe he was like a phone built in the 80s.
Yeah, he's one of those.
Yeah.
But then he's like, ah, now I'll get you. And he's like, get him, Vuffy Raw. And of course, Vuffy's like, what?
What?
But, you know, Chandler doesn't know that. And he's like, ah!
I mean, Lando mostly just got real lucky that he didn't get his expensive-ass droid shot in the process. But he...
I mean, he doesn't give a fuck about that droid. He doesn't know if it's expensive or anything and does not care.
He's been really weirdly nonchalant about how cool Vuffy Raw is. But anyway, he kind of kicks a chair over towards the dented bartender, who just immediately picks it up and hits Chandler in the back of the head so hard that he falls unconscious immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lando's like, great, I'm glad some droids aren't programmed for total non-violence, like shooting a pointed glance at Vuffy Raw. And the bartender's like, he's only programmed for violence if violence is dealt to him. And I'm like, dude, don't switch to the third person right now. It took me three reads of this page to figure out you're talking about yourself. I was like, did he have another bartender? What the fuck?
I thought he was talking about Vuffy Raw, where he's like, oh, he's only programmed not to start violence.
No, Vuffy Raw is pure pacifism. You could kick him if you want.
And you will.
He's like Jesus in that regard. You could kick Jesus.
Kick him to the curb, what I always say. Kids, there's someone else who kicked Jesus, spins chair around.
Spins hat around. Spins shoes around?
Turns beat around?
Turns it upside down? Yeah, but so anyway, the bartender's talking about himself. He's just like...
thing around, flip it and reverse it?
The bartender is programmed for self-defense only, so someone else has to take the first swing. That said, he does try to kick, after he pistol whips the top of the droid's head, he tries to kick it, and he gets hurt. He, like, breaks his own toe, because he just had to kick a fucking metal man.
Yeah.
And Vuffy Raw's like, you probably should not try to kick droids.
Don't kick droids, my dude.
That was right before Get Him Vuffy Raw.
Yeah.
But anyway, now the dude's unconscious, and the bartender has a couple more menial, like, house droids.
But of course, the big thing here is everyone's like, yay, Lando's a hero. I'm like, and even he is like, man, I sat in my chair this whole time.
Yeah.
I did nothing.
No credit for droids.
But everyone's like, hey, good job. And he's like, thank you. I did do a good job.
Well, luckily, he gets his comeuppance for claiming this droid credit, even as they fight back against anti-droid racism. Because Mose, who'd just been sitting quietly through this whole exchange as well at the table, has grabbed the key and made a dash for it.
Yeah, now that he's like, ooh, this guy's not looking. I'm taking this shit and I'm out.
I want to be the key bearer.
I'm going to be the key guy.
I mean, we'll get to it. I haven't read this in so long that I've forgotten all the twists and turns. I just remembered how rad...
Good!
That's good. I just remember how rad Vuffy Raw is. But we'll get to my question in a second. I just want you to know that my question is genuine. That I'm not just leading the witnesses, so to speak. Anyway, he sees Mose leaving through a back door and is like, nope, fuck that, and goes after him.
Well, yeah, we had that, you know, same place that he came in through. There's just sort of a little gray curtain leading into the back room.
Yeah.
And he just sees Mose going into the back and he's like, ah, that, 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 that.
I would have liked it if he'd been like, you know what? Now it's Roker Geppa's problem.
Yeah. Just okay, go back to the wizard and be like, turns out some asshole stole the key.
Yeah. I had the key. I used it to locate Ahsoka and then he took it. I don't know. Maybe find him.
I don't know. It's up to you now.
I leave it in your weird wizardly hands.
Your capably sparkle hands.
Yeah. But no, he chases down Mose, because Mose is pretty quick for a spry, but he's also so bent over that he's like looking at the ground.
Thing is, Mose absolutely just gives Lando a thrashing here, because the second he comes after him, he's like, hey, you, gets punched in the face. Ow! And then gets punched in the dick. And he's like, fucking, oh God!
Except that as much as Mose is putting up a real serious shamble fight, he's old and weak. And so he's like, hits Lando in the face, as Lando's like, ow, that's like if a toddler hit me in the face.
No way, man. Lando gets his shit pushed in.
Sure, but he just grabs Moe's and holds on. And he's like, I don't want to hurt this guy. He's like a million years old. I'm just going to kind of hold him till he calms down.
My favorite part is he's like, dude, punch me in the face. Kneed me in the crotch. Mm. I almost threw up and I've barely got a hold of him now. And I'm still, and he's still just like, oh, but I can't hurt this guy. He's so old.
He's so old. I don't want to hurt him. So he's just like, dude, I thought I was the keymaster. What are you doing? And Moe's doesn't really try to answer. He just tries to get away, but he can't. He's too weak to break Lando's hold. He's trying biting and flailing around.
Oh, I mean, he smacks him upside the head with the key.
Yeah. And Lando's just like, come on, man. Come fucking, all right, come on. No. And finally, after the fight goes on for long enough, he does look up to the bartender at one point. He's like, hey, you helped me last time. And the bartender's like, yeah, there was a gun pointed at me last time. You're on your own, human.
He's like, eh, you look like you've got this, and also that you could use the practice. Because you're having a real hard time holding down that real old guy.
Yeah, I'm not in the business of beating up really old men. Wink, wink. So I'm just going to leave this one to you. I have to say wink. I don't have working eyes. Eventually, Lando kind of just gets Moe's head and conks it on the floor once, which causes him to just kind of go like, yeah, like a passive dog.
Yeah, just dunk. Grabs the key and he's like, what the shit, man?
I'm going to keep this from now on, okay? This is my key. I'm the key bearer.
Buddy. And he like stands up and reaches his hand down. He's like, come on, buddy.
Yeah, and Moe's is like, well, thou shalt kill me now, for I have failed thee.
It is thy privilege and thy honor to kill me.
Yeah, he's very thee-thou-ish. And I love that even Lando's like, this guy's talking like an old-timey guy.
Well, yeah, we already established that last episode that the Toka language is basically Shakespearean.
Which is so dumb. But what are you going to do? Anyway, he's like, look, just don't try to get my key away, and we'll be okay from now on. Okay, pal? Now do whatever it is you're supposed to do for the key bearer and his emissary, huh?
Huh? Hey, Vuffy, why don't you go find me a cab or something so we can get back to the Falcon?
I love how Vuffy Raw has been playing I Am a Droid this whole time, where he's just like, hey, Vuffy, what do you think of this? And he's like, sir, that does not make sense because it contains a metaphor or simile. I do not understand those. And then finally, Lando notices he drops the act when he's like, do you think there's taxis on this planet? And Vuffy's like, fine, I'll go get one. He speaks perfect English and knows full well. He's not like first season Data.
No, this is not Drax. He's like, no, I get it. Yeah. I understand.
Fucking first season Data. I built the most advanced cybernetic droid in the world. He doesn't know what jokes are.
He cannot use contractions.
Contractions are hard. You're going to have to wait for Data 2.0.
The evil one.
The evil one. You can tell when it's lore because he's like, you're in trouble now. And you're like, oh, shit, it's lore. I used a contraction.
Oh, shit. You fucked up.
All right, so any bees.
But yeah, Moe's is like, all right, let's all go to the Falcon, but I would never presume to go on the same like transport as you, so you, master, go thy way, and thy servant shall go their own, and thus we shall meet betwixt.
Wheretofore thereupon there shalt out be.
And he's like, all right, my dude,
okay,
whatever.
Did you just say you're going to meet us at the spaceport, or what was that?
Yes, that's what I just said.
That's exactly what I said. And Lando's like, well, maybe you could just say that instead. Moot it be!
It's funny, because you do speak this language that I am saying, mm-hmm. This version of English.
You understand me. You understood when I said why and not wherefore.
So, you know.
You could maybe knock it off? I don't know.
Nope.
And that's my question, is how much of the Toka shit is fake? That's the thing I genuinely don't remember. But anyway, he gets a cab. Moe's just disappears right back through that back curtain again.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, I guess we're going to take the bus to fucking
Spaceport Space Village.
Town.
Yeah.
And it's 10 kilometers away. Takes him apparently 10 minutes to get there. And when he does, there is a fucking mob of Toka there.
Yeah, every Toka is there. There's just hundreds upon hundreds of these weird old-looking gray beard nobody dudes. Just sort of...
All of them chanting.
All of them chanting, discordantly and shitty. And they part like the Red Sea as the cab arrives, and Lando's like, great. Nice.
They get out and they start walking, and it's just like, all right, they will part for you to walk, and then as soon as you go through, they just start filling in behind.
Yeah.
So there's just this little circle around them, and he's like, I am not okay with this.
I do not like a single part of this.
The stuff that is happening right now, not good.
These people are the worst. Like, do you think he'd just be like, Mose, tell all your weird friends to go, and it would work, or no?
Thing is, he doesn't even see Mose until he gets to the very front of it, and there Mose is, having gathered an entire giant squad of, like, hundreds of these dudes, and led them on a chant before he got here in an actual vehicle.
Yes, somehow Mose is faster than the car, and also managed to organize a party.
I mean, my assumption is that the Toka are actually just look fucked up and are actual super physical badasses, which is why he was able to beat the shit out of Lando, even though he was super old.
If that was the case, he would have actually beaten the shit out of Lando and ran away with the key and we'd be done. I think they're genuinely pretty old.
He's actually super old of the Toka.
That's fair. My guess...
It's like, you know, old Captain America fighting versus mm-hmm. young Captain America.
No, I get that. I'm there with you, but my guess is different. My guess is that the Toka still do have some access to Sharu stuff, and this place just has underground tunnels like fucking Disneyland. Like, he just went underground and was like, I'll just take this conveyor belt there faster than they'd ever get there.
I've got a weird people mover.
He does. And then once he got down in there, there's just thousands of Toka that live in there, and he was like, all right, come with me, everybody. See, that's my guess. Underground Toka tunnels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm saying that they're all super soldiers.
That's fair. We have two different guesses.
Working in the life crystals has made them weirdly warped, but also super powerful.
Yeah, kind of like Mofear. And you know what? That's too obscure of a reference. Never mind.
Sure. It's just like Cape Fear.
Exactly like Cape Fear. In no way dissimilar from the Simpsons episode called Cape Fear.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The best Simpsons episode there ever was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fight me if you think that's different.
Please fight me.
Please, I need to be beaten up. It will validate my beliefs that that's the best Simpsons episode further.
That's all it takes.
It's got the rake joke.
Classic.
It is. It's a classic. All right, but before we go off on yet another series of tangents, he gets a quick conversation with Mose, who basically verifies that, yeah, we're all chanting because of this and that. You're going to come with us now. We're gonna proceed along the pathway to the next thing. Lando mostly is just like, I'm not sleeping in a hotel again. I do not want to get beaten up by more cops. I am sleeping in my fully armed spaceship from now on.
I'm going to sleep in a place
mm-hmm.
that is armored and has locks on it mm-hmm. that I control.
Yes. So he just wants to get some fucking sleep in his house that is a spaceship.
Oh, yeah. But he's just like, all right, Mose, can you just fucking shut these dudes up? He's like,
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Send them on their way.
Yeah. But just as he does that, oh, geez, this clown circus will not end because here come 30 cop trucks.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, God damn it. Why are there a shit ton of cops at my goddamn at my Millennium Falcon? What is happening? He goes up to one and he's like, please. Please, my dude, do not fuck with me. I will pay you the 2-credit fine or whatever it is. Please leave.
Please do not do whatever you're doing. And it turns out that this is the dude who beat him up last night.
Oh, we don't even know that yet. Because he's just like, oh, we're just here to load up the fucking crystals that you're getting.
They're extremely valuable, so they need cop escorts.
Yeah, because you're getting an entire fucking cargo ship full of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're here to make sure nobody tries to steal that. And he's like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Helpful cops? Bullshit.
That's never true. Anything that needs a cop escort is bullshit, and I don't want it. Get the fuck out of here. And it's around this point that he recognizes the voice of the guy, and he's like, wait a minute.
No, he doesn't.
You know, does the dude just tell him?
No, Vuffy tells him later.
Oh, I thought no, he realizes it because the two of them have a conversation before Vuffy. What Vuffy points out to him is a third thing about this guy. Oh, let's just go my way, because here's the thing.
Because here's the thing and how you're wrong.
Okay, no, please. Please tell me how I'm wrong.
Here, I'll look it up. I'll look up the passage that tells it,
uh-huh,
and you can keep talking and telling people your wrong thing.
So anyway, Gallagher is
blue felt Muppet.
No, I thought these two got it from each other, but then later Vuffy tells him, wait, you didn't recognize that guy? That's the dude who pulled the gun on us in the bar, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. He knew it was the same cop who beat him up. He did not know it was also the guy, it was also Jandler.
No.
I feel bad because they're going to be dead air now and you're going to read this wrong.
Just go. Just say your shit.
Fine, I'll just say the correct thing. And once you realize it, you can get back on board with me. He figures out somehow that this is the cop who beat the shit out of him in the hotel and makes fun of him for it. He's like, when the cop tries to be like, hey man, no hard feelings, okay? Lando's like, yeah, sure. I'll try to do the same for you sometime. And then he goes back up on his ship after all the life crystals are loaded, and there's a shitload of them, and he's like, wow, I can't believe Roker Gepta actually held to his word on this shit. He gets back up into the ship, And after a bunch of other shit happens that we're going to have to go back to now because someone's being a stubborn mule, Vuffy Rock comes in and is like, huh, I saw you put one over on that guy. And Lando's like, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. And he goes, well, you didn't recognize him? That's Jandler. He was the dude who jumped us in the bar. And Lando was like, what? I did not put that together. God damn.
God.
And Vuffy's like, I did get that because I did a voice algorithm recognition thing. So
yeah.
So I'm amazed that you didn't put that together. But he and the dude, Jandler, have a full conversation, including an apology like, hey, I'm sorry I had to beat your ass in that hotel room. I was under orders. I hope you're not too fucked up. I hope you're okay. And Lando's like, yeah, man, I guess I'm all right. You actually did pretty good work in terms of no permanent damage.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's exactly what happened. No different thing happened. And now we have to go back and talk about the other shit that happened. I should just be quiet so that the sound removal.
Yeah, I don't know. It don't matter. Whatever. I can't even find the fucking passage
in
there.
That's because it's not in there. That's the best way to find proof of it. We're still friends, everybody. Don't worry.
Nah, we're not.
This was it.
We never have been, and now we're not working together anymore.
I quit this project in Stanter.
Never again!
Anyway, the major thing we miss is that Lando's mostly just amazed that Roker Gepta held up to his end of the bargain and just fucking filled his ship with life crystals. That said, again, it doesn't fucking matter. Without the hyperdrive, he can't leave with them. He basically is serving as a free warehouse for life crystals until they decide to gank him later.
I mean, he can leave.
At
he
sublight.
Just can't, you know, leave the current little solar system he's in. But again, I keep going, yeah, but he just goes to some fucking planet, finds a guy, and is like, I will give you a crate of life crystals to fix this.
Right. But that is also relying on the notion that Roker Gepta and Dutz Murr don't control, like, the system, actually. And I would not put that past Roker Gepta. That guy's a wizard.
That guy's a wizard. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, Dutz, I assume, is just...
No, Dutz controls this city.
Yeah, Dutz is just a local government.
He's Mr. Taguda Lusat. But we don't know. Roker's the wild card. We don't know what he
oh, yeah.
controls.
The wizard's always a wild card.
Yeah. Gepta's wild.
Here in my shitty game.
So, anyway, what we establish is that they actually do load up all the life crystals. And more than that, once they get on the ship, it turns out that the other job the cops had, beyond just loading the cargo hold with crystals, was to tear out the hyperdrive. And they did not do it nicely.
No, they just sort of ripped out all the bits and pieces that you would need.
Mm-hmm.
And Vuffy is straight up like, holy shit, I can't believe they did this. This is, like, brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is he's like genuinely torn up about this. Like, I know we've seen droids feel bad for other inanimate objects and droids in Star Wars before, but this is on a level that we've never seen.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, this, and I mean, he explains it, but he's like, to him, this is basically like, oh, I just saw someone, like, the discarded, tortured remains of an animal.
Yes, exactly. Like, and Lando keeps trying to play it off.
He's like, yeah, but you're sapient. This is just a fucking machine.
Yeah, because the first thing that happens is he's like, look what they did to her. And Lando's like, yeah, we knew they were going to do that. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a machine. It's fine. Who gives a shit?
And Lando's like, a machine. Or Vuffy's like, a machine? Sir, I am a machine. Would you be okay if they did this to me? And to his credit, Lando doesn't just go, yeah, as long as they paid me.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Lando's like, well, you're a sapient machine. This thing is, like,
pretty smart.
You know, it's got some AI intelligence to it in order to help fly and everything, but it's not like an actual sapient being like you. And, you know, Vuffy's like, oh, so if you saw a dog that had been absolutely murdered and discarded by the side of the road, you'd be like, yep, not as sapient as me. Don't care.
I mean, a dog. I don't know. I feel like if I saw that happen, I'd be like, that sucked. But then I wouldn't, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the person who isn't flipping the turtle back over.
I mean,
like, I see roadkill all the time.
I was going to say, because the way Vuffy puts it is basically like, oh, you don't feel bad when you see roadkill? And I'm like, yes, very momentarily I do.
Yeah, especially if it gets on my car. But anyway.
You're a bad person.
I play one on the podcast.
But yeah, but at least... You know, Lando ends up being like, okay, I get it. I understand. I'm sorry. Like,
calls him his old cybernet.
Yeah.
Sorry, my old cybernet. I'm trying to work on your level. I didn't realize how serious this was to you. And the thing is, that's fair. This is weird. Oh, yeah. We've seen 3PO get torn apart himself and not care that much about it at this point, where he's like, he's just like, oh, I'm mad that my legs are off, you stupid Wookiee, but not that mad. I mean, yeah. I know I'll be put back
together. I'm a droid. I don't really care. But Vuffy gets real sad about it, and at least he's like, hey, dude, that's great. The fact that you are willing to hear me and understand and apologize, that is more than I would assume any other given organic would do.
And it leads to one of my favorite little moments here that's going to be the running gag for the episode, where he like tries to thank him for his compassion and goes, hey, I wanted to say thanks, Lando. And Lando's like, sure, don't call me Lando.
Yeah. I know I've spent every chapter being like, hey, don't call me Captain. All right, Master, don't call me Master. All right, Lando, don't call me Lando.
I don't think they've gone through Captain yet, because I still feel like that's the correct solution. That's the obvious one that they just haven't settled on yet. But yeah, don't call me Lando. Anyway, I'm going to go talk to Mose. So he goes up to the front where he has reinstalled the chair he took out so he can stick in what I assume is a permanently standing flight droid so that Vuffy can sit there. But Mose is still sitting in one of those back seats in the Falcon cockpit, just sort of dimly staring at the ground with his arms out. Just sort of like, because they pretty much just sort of go into a torpor when they're not doing something, these Toka.
Yeah, so he's just like, I'm just sitting in the chair, staring off into the middle of distance, just boom.
Yeah, so Lando's like, well, this is a great chance for me to talk to this dude. So, hi, Mose, how you doing?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Okay, so can you please explain to me what the fuck?
What were y'all chanting when I arrived here when you had your giant mob of people? And he's like, oh, that was just the song of the emissary, my dude. Let me sing it for you. No.
Dip, dap. Can you just tell me what it was? Well, yes, here comes a long, boring story in a weird language. Dap. I know you speak my language.
I know you speak regular ass basic. Please.
Let's hear some of that. So Mose is about to start telling the story, but he does get a little bit out, mostly like a way too convenient chunk of story that's like, yes, they say that a dark-skinned gamble man with a spaceship of his very own will arrive in this star system, accompanied by a weird inhuman starfish robot of pure gleaming silver, and it is them who shall become the key bearer and the emissary. And Lando, I feel like, goes about halfway in getting it on this one, where he's like, Oh, that's why they wanted me, because I'm a dark-skinned gamble man, and I have this droid that's very...
Yeah, it's just, oh, there was supposed to be a dark-skinned gambler and a inhuman companion in silver. And he's like, okay, I match the description. That's why they pulled me.
Yeah.
They profiled me. I get it.
I still don't believe it. I still feel like the Toka legend is, like, too specific, and I think that they just were like, we need Lando for some reason, or Vuffy for some reason, so we'll just make up a legend and float it to Dutes.
Plus,
here's the other thing. That legend doesn't make a fucking tiny bit of sense when factored in with Mose trying to steal the key. If the whole legend is like, this dude shows up and he's the most important dude ever and will lead us to the treasure, unless you can get the key away from him, in case, totally do that, bro.
Well, I mean, at that point, you'd have to assume that he's making that legend up right now.
That's what I think. That's my current thought, yes.
Okay, so why would he make that legend up right now, and why would they have
Lando's a dummy? Because at no point has Lando been like, hey, why did you try to lift the key? Like, that'd be my number one question for this dude. Like, hey, I just saw you get there before me with a whole army of people singing terribly because they think I'm some kind of god or something. Why did you try to steal my key? I would like that bit of backstory.
I mean, my assumption is so that I could be the super important savior of my people.
I guess, except that if he showed up and he was like, hey, everybody, I have the key, but I'm kind of light-skinned and I forgot to bring a cool robot. He'd just get yelled at. They'd be like, go put the key back in the mayor's office until a black guy shows up. You know the rules.
See, I'm of the impression that he would go, yeah, but I'm the one. It's me. Twist the legends around. Like, anyone who has studied any amount of religion is like, no, here's how you can twist the legend so it's me.
He says that the legend is so absurdly specific that, you know, the moment he tries to, like, that's the only thing they have to this legend is this weird specificity. His name shall contain Ondal, perhaps rearranged, though.
Yeah, but he's just like, yeah, all right, so I guess.
All right, start telling me the whole story. And then, because I guess it's too early in the book for the whole story, Vuffy Raw walks in.
Oh, yeah, Vuffy's just like, hey, my dude. And he's like, hey, you, they should clean up the ship to whatever code you want it to be at.
Yeah, and
whatever doesn't make you uncomfortable.
And Buffy's like, it's good enough. It's fine, I guess. You know, whatever. I still feel like your ship got totally mutilated.
Yeah.
And to me, I feel like that's a really interesting bit of foreshadowing, that there's something weird about Vuffy Raw.
There is very much something weird about Vuffy Raw.
Yeah.
In his sensibilities alone. Not, yeah. I mean, even discounting the fact that he is a tentacle starfish.
No, I get that part. I mean, you can build droids wherever you want. And he tells us right away the truth, which is, I was built to look like what my people look like. Like, that's cool. That just means that there's a race of tentacled starfish guys somewhere out there. That's not that weird. We've met sentient piles of kelp before.
Yeah, but we have not met, like, piles of kelp droids. Every droid we see is basically a bipedal dude or a trash can.
That's not, I mean, yeah, they're all bipedal dudes, but that it's not 100% true, because we have met Forlom, who looks like a Zuckus.
Yeah.
Like, Zuckus is a gant?
And is bipedal.
Yeah, but so is Zuckus. But he has a Zuckus head. So they were like, well, let's make a 3PO with a gand head so that, I don't know, he can talk to gands better.
But I'm saying, all the droids are bipedal. Mm-hmm. The fact that this is a starfish tentacle monster is weird, because everyone else is like, even if you're a shambling pile of fucking kelp, mm-hmm. there isn't a shambling pile droid. Like,
we just haven't met one yet.
The kelp guys are like, yeah, I still get this bipedal dude.
I mean, the Zephliffle that we met were just there to try and see if Waru could heal their sick kid. It wasn't. Why would they bring a droid? They were going to go talk to the big golden shield pile. Like, they didn't need to. They didn't need to bring their family shamble droid, which they definitely have. There's also a quivering heat Brebisham droid, I bet.
Oh man, I would love if there was like, what do you got? Oh, we got about 12 Brebisham droids. They're all in a heap over there, quivering.
Oh, hello, master. Oh, hello, master.
Hello, hello, hello.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. I'm an astromech.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that. I could see like a Hutt droid.
But there isn't. That's the thing, is you could imagine it, but you never see it.
It's weird, right? This is just one more argument that you and I should be writing Star Wars novels and not any of these clowns.
Well, no, it's an argument of why the stuff before we got the whole, here's the only way you can write Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
is cool.
Yeah.
Because it was like the idea of, yeah, there's some random fucking starfish tentacle race out there, and they made a starfish tentacle droid because obviously you would make a droid that looks like you,
mm-hmm.
so that it could do the things that you do.
I feel the same way about the droid cartoon where they meet that great heap, the leader of the Abominor, and it basically looks like if a dump truck was a droid, and you're just like, oh, that's a neat idea. Why wouldn't you build that?
Yeah, but when you get into actual fucking, like, droid shit from later books,
no, I get
you. And it's like, what's this? Oh, it's the droid that eats buildings and shits different buildings. It just looks like a big dude eating buildings. And you're like, why? Why?
It would be easier not to. I mean, granted,
it has a maw.
I mean,
why did you do that?
I mean, the only reason it has a maw is because it has an input. That's all. It's a machine that inhales other things and spits them out the back end. I don't think it has like a fully articulated butt on the other side that poops buildings.
Oh, it does.
Okay, fine. It definitely has that.
Oh, it shits buildings.
It definitely shits buildings and craps thunder. But, But I don't think that thing is as humanoid as we think. I think the city droid is like a big tread monster.
Aw.
I can't say for sure. Also, we have BB-8. That's a whole thing.
BB-8?
BB-8 isn't built in the style of a little ball species.
I'm saying...
He's an astromech, though.
Yeah, we get trash cans and bipedals.
Yeah, that is
and
true.
And he fits into the trash can just like the mouse droid.
That is. I can think of several exceptions, but that said, I don't think it's super important. For example, in New Hope, when they're going to buy R2-D2 from the Jawas, there are two other droids you get to see. One of them is R5-D4, who's just another
trash can.
But the other one is this fucking rolling platform with a central tower that's just got random armatures coming out of it at spirally angles.
Huh?
And it looks like it was built to hang clothes off of. And then it would just roll
and
up.
And indeed it was.
Like, it'll just roll up to you and be like, very good, sir. I have
your
spun
coat.
your shorts.
Spin my shorts, says Star Wars Bart.
Yeah, so maybe that thing was built in the exact style of a species that was a flat board with treads for legs and one huge central cock that went up the middle with a bunch of spiraling armatures to hang clothes from.
Of course.
Yeah, that's just a Star Wars monster.
Just a Star Wars.
One huge central cock.
That's what Star Wars is. One big central cock. A Star Wars story.
But I just love that he's like, all right, well, I'm all the way prepared to tell you the whole and complete story of the Sharu and your role in it and what that key does and where you have to go. And, oh, it's Vuffy Raw.
Hey, dude.
And Buffy Rod's like, sorry to interrupt your conversation. Please do continue. Oh, no, that wouldn't be proper. You've interrupted it.
I couldn't possibly.
We'll save that for a different chapter.
You know what? Now that you're here, it's time to go to sleep. I don't want to know details. I'm sleepy.
Pass. I sure hope Mose doesn't change his mind or try and escape or something overnight. He's all we know about him so far is that he's weird and cagey.
Yeah. The only experience we have with Mose is he is a weirdo and has attempted at least once to run away with the thing we have.
Anyway, let's just put him here and go to bed before he tells me the story he was about to voluntarily tell me.
Look, I just ran out of energy for the day, and I gotta wait 4 hours to get more, so... I
mean, part of me likes the idea that Lando just heard that bit about how, like, a dark-skinned guy who's good at gambling and has his own ship that he doesn't like is gonna show up, and was like, oh, okay, this guy only says bullshit. I don't need to hear his whole fucking story.
Oh, okay. What else would you like to tell me? Legend says that he will come in on a Millennium Falcon? Is that what we're doing now?
Master, legend speaks of a Diet Coke you'll offer me.
Legend speaks that you will get me a Jumbo Jack. No tomatoes.
The legend hates tomatoes. Lando's like, all right.
Well,
where's the nearest Jack in the Box? There are no Jack in Boxes in the Ozeon system, Master.
Goddamn.
All we have is Whataburgers.
No! Oh!
Why?
Whataburger!
But that's, I don't remember, I think that just ends the chapter.
Oh, yeah, it basically just comes to an end when Buffy's like, hey, dude,
I'm ready to fly your ship, I guess.
Let's fuck around and then find out. And he's like, nah, it's sleep's time.
Yeah, although I still feel like, okay, you've got a pilot droid now. Hooray, good for you. Go up into space and sleep there, you know?
Yeah.
Just go into orbit and sleep in orbit. Like, less people are going to be able to come out. You won't get, like, thug cops beating you up. Mose won't run away. You'll be in space.
Mose does try to run away. He'll kill everyone.
That is true. But I do love that this is the Falcon before the Solo movie, so it doesn't have that front thing, that escape pod or whatever.
That front butt.
Yeah. So this is old Falcon, so there's no escape pod. And if Mose tries to leave, he just has to go out the airlock like anyone else. So go fly and park in space.
Yeah. But no. Instead, he's just like, hey, man. And Buffy's like, so what were you doing? He's like, oh, this guy was just telling me the legend of the hidden temple. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. Can I hear it? Nah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be happy to tell you it. Verily, the key bearer and his emissary shall give me a hand job, whichever is better at it.
Ah, the legend speaketh of hand stuff.
But it should probably come from the key bearer, for I see no hands upon the emissary. And Buffy's like, I can do it. I'm really good at that shit.
You don't know.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, my species crafted me for hand jobs.
As far as I know. Which is to say, not at all.
They didn't craft me for mouth stuff. I feel like that's very apparent.
But yeah, he's just like, all right, well, whatever. You interrupted. I'm going to go in the back and get some sleep. You polish your armor. We're out.
That's it.
Great.
Ah, short episode. Sorry, everybody. Not that much happened, and we still had time to fit in a whole argument about whether or not a thing happened.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway, I guess we'll go make bonus content.
I guess we will. Now, here's the thing about bonus content.
Yeah, I would love to hear the thing about bonus content.
You can get bonus content if, and only if,
you
go to patreon.com / system mastery at that middle $2 level unlocks all of our expounded universe bonus content, the expanded expounded universe.
Mm-hmm. And also the bonus content for System Mastery.
That's right. Yeah. All that, a ton of backlog shit that is all there on Patreon waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I suggest you kick it up to the $5 level where you get the Afterthought and the TV Mastery. TV Mastery, great. Absolute good shit. We have gone through some weird series and a couple weird concept seasons, which we are in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you the Afterthought monthly where you can ask us questions that we answer, get you access to the secret rooms in the Discord.
It's true. The $5 level is the best level. It comes with the most highest percentage of extra bonus crystals that you can use to purchase cosmetic armor to put on the two of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you want seals to open up deeper dungeons, at the $5 level, you get 10 free a month,
mm-hmm.
and that's without ever paying a dime extra.
Now, we are going to, of course, supply any Patreon member at any level with a basic riding horse, But if you join us at the $5 level, you get a crystalline Pegasus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are bundles of 10, 50, 100, or 1,000, the best deal of crystals that you can get to unlock all sorts of cosmetic deals for your character in our Discord.
You will look the coolest and be boosted the fastest to level up quickly in the universe of System Mastery by joining us at the $5 level.
Man, yeah? If we had microtransactions, I would have to punch myself in the dick.
We can have one. You
one
know,
microtransaction.
One as a treat.
You can get, let's just put that on the Patreon, just bag of crystals. What does that do? You get a bag of crystals.
You get a picture of a bag of crystals. Yeah. You can use it to enhance your content. I don't know.
It's like an NFT, except we don't use the blockchain and we don't care.
If you click it when you're listening to the podcast, you get a sparkly sound effect that plays over our voices.
Sploong!
All right. Well, anyway, that's all been great. But yeah, please do support us at all those levels to unlock all kinds of amazing content. We are currently starting the process of migrating to both monthly on the Patreon and also trying to enhance our overall kind of front-end user experience.
Get our shit together.
I know. It's been 10 years, but ultimately we built everything all wrong.
Look,
in the beginning.
We built this city on absolute shit.
Well, we built it on the lack of knowledge about how you're supposed to podcast. We weren't, like, just invited to the Max Fun Network because we're related to a McElroy's doctor or some shit.
Yeah, we didn't
We had to do this hard way.
Yeah, we didn't have some professional set our shit up while we just went, oh, so I just walk into a room and talk into a mic and then someone else takes care of everything?
Yeah.
Great!
Yeah. So we did it all wrong in the beginning. We want the RSS feeds to not cap at 150 per different show. And we also want to know any metric beyond that some people kind of like us.
Some people listen to us.
So we're working on that right now. We're about to start a major overhaul of System Mastery, Expounded Universe, and Movie Mastery. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you over on the Patreon for that Expanded Expounded Universe. I've been Elan Sleazebagano.
And I was definitely right.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's no, in you the book. Certainly weren't. We're both Elan Sleazebagano.
We are both Elan Sleazebagano, and we were both right.
Good night.